So in this hour, find in your notes, doubting God's goodness. As you come alongside people who are hurting and you try to counsel them, and I'm talking about believers. I counsel unbelievers every now and then, but this workshop's still geared towards believers. You'll find that along with their painful circumstances and their unsettling emotions, they may also be struggling, though they don't know whether it's okay to say it out loud or not, with doubting God's goodness and love. You realize you can keep moving forward, saying the party line and doing the right things, but internally, you're really struggling. But you don't know if it's okay to admit it. Where would you go in the scriptures? And do you know how to help someone, a believer, who is struggling? They've got a trial. Set the trial aside for a minute. Often a trial, I hope you've seen this, often a trial can create, you can have a parenting problem that becomes a marriage problem. Well, guess what? You can have a health crisis or a financial crisis or some sort of trial that then becomes a relationship with God crisis on the side, because it throws them into a moment of beginning to question and doubt. Where is God? Is he good? Is he loving? And so I hope you know that he's given us everything we need. He really has. But I just think we're not as familiar with all of it as we should be. The book of Psalms, you realize all 150 songs are not happy, clappy psalms. They're not all, I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving, I'll enter his courts with praise. And it's not like they just threw one or two in there. Well, that's odd. Wonder what that's about. 53 of the 150 psalms are psalms of lamentation. So I would say to you, they're in a minor key. It's a song, but it's in a minor key. And woo, when you read them, some of them are really minor. Really, really, you almost find yourself saying, can you say that out loud to God? Is that okay to say? Can you say that? And I think they're there because I hope you also realize, as a counselor, if you want to be effective, the longer I counsel and the more broken our world becomes, I'm running into more and more and more situations where there is no fix. I'm not going to be able to fix this. So then what are you doing as a counselor? Guess what? One of the best things you can do for someone is give them a safe place to truly vocalize all they're feeling. And know they won't be judged. And then better than that, never mind that Brad Bigney will listen to you, point them to a place in Scripture and say, you're not the first one to have felt this way. You know, one of the worst things that happens to us is Satan begins to make you think, you're the only one. You're fundamentally flawed. You're the only one that's ever struggled like this. The use of the scripture sometimes is nothing more than just to say, oh my goodness, you too? You too? I'm not the first. And then it gives you a place with permission to vocalize it to God. Now notice the Psalms of Lamentation are crying out to God, and he hears it. They give us a place where we can help real people work their way, because I hope you've noticed in your own life and those that you try to shepherd, you are more likely to process your way through this sooner if you get it out and you work with it. When you just stuff it in and say, I don't think I should be thinking this, I don't think I should be thinking this, this is going to take longer. You're giving them permission to vocalize it and say, hey, look at this psalm. One of those psalms is Psalm 73. So go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. I hope you have a Bible. And I don't want to hear people swiping their little apps. I want to hear real pages of real Bibles. You know why? Because I'm old. I'm old. That little app in your lap's not even inspired. Only paper's inspired. So, it's got the right content. No power. No power. Oh, I'm just kidding. Not really. It does bother me. I've been a pastor 35 years, and on Sunday now I'm like, so turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Like, there's like, I think five people are turning in their Bibles. I'm like, oh, this is sad. Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. Now notice something else. And it's true of us. Have you ever noticed when you're really discouraged and down, you exaggerate? This is so extreme, right? They're always at ease. There's no pangs in there. But the author's not the only one that tends to do that. That is our tendency. I don't read my Bible and just say, what is wrong with them? I find myself in the scriptures readily. That's me. That's me. That's me. Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocence for all day long. I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, he's trying to reconcile. Why do the wicked have it so good? Why do God's people have it so hard? When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you've set them. I mean, look at the turning point. I mean, there's a total turning here. Surely you've set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation is in a moment. They're utterly consumed with terrors, as in a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Now, as he's coming to his senses and getting everything reframed, he's looking back on what he was saying and how he's acting and saying, my heart was grieved, I was vexed, I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Verse 23 is so sweet. Nevertheless, while I acted like that, God, you held on to me. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none upon earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You've destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. I think there's four takeaways that we can get from this one chapter that might be useful to someone who's truly struggling in their trial with doubting the goodness of God, the love of God. Here's the first. Number one, give your counselee permission to admit their doubts and then help them to unpack it, because it will always involve more than just an intellectual problem. Usually when we think doubts, we think apologetics and some intellectual person that needs all this reasoning. Folks, it's almost always doubt is driven and fueled by far more than intellectual concerns. It's almost always very personal. Have you ever noticed that? When someone always all of a sudden switches and they have a new view on homosexuality. If you ask questions, you'll find their daughter has come out as a lesbian. They have a next door neighbor they love dearly. Don't hear me saying we should hate these people. We should not. But you can't change what God says, and often human beings do. It's always personal and often based on something they're going through, not like I've learned. This is really not the topic of this workshop, but it's worth throwing in here because I've been a pastor for a while. Kids go off to college, and I can't tell you how many times parents have rushed up to me, oh my goodness, now my son, my daughter has declared they're an agnostic or an atheist, and do you have some books? And I used to round up all these books and da 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 da. You know what I've found? I've learned to ask questions. Are they sleeping with their girlfriend? Are they sleeping with their boyfriend? Are they getting just, knockout, drunk, vomit all through the